We welcome Jason DeVos to the studio, Director of Development Soccer Canada. Jason, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fantastic. But we look at how the vote went, and it was more than 2-1 in favor of this bid here. Did you have any idea, any inkling? Does anyone let you? Nothing, eh?
Nothing. It's been a long road for everyone involved with this, and I have to give so much credit to our senior management team. I don't know how they've done their jobs and the United bid over the last 6 months. People like Peter Montopoli, Joe Guest, Sandra Gage, Sean Heffernan, Earl Cochran, Steve Reed, our president, Nick Bontis, our vice president. They've put in an absolute mountain of work over the last 6 months to make this happen. And the margin of victory doesn't really reflect the feelings, I think, going into it. I mean, I've been up since 11 o'clock last night. I haven't slept. Mm. It's that important to the future of the sport in our country.
Jason DeVos, a former Canadian international as well, played in England. This timing doesn't work for you, though. We're not getting you out of retirement. You'll be in your early, and you were 11 when they last qualified. So it's just this, none of this worked for you to play in a World Cup, did it? None of it did.
It's funny because I said to John when he got the men's job, I said, you know, if I put in a good 12 weeks of training, I might be able to get myself in semi-reasonable condition. So it's an exciting time.
How much do you think, as an observer of this bid process and how FIFA operates, we were all kind of confused and all a little alarmed when Russia and Qatar won their bids. No one would lie about that. But if this was just strictly a U.S. bid, it's a closer vote. How much closer a vote do you think it is? There was obviously going to be great Latin and Central America support because Mexico's there. And I hate to say, everybody loves Canada. So, I mean, people didn't want to deny our opportunity to go. It's a lot closer bid, though, if it's just a straight U.S. bid. And they did a great job in 94, but we also live in 2018, and we know there'd be countries that wouldn't want the USA alone to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the strength of our bid was the three pillars that we kept stressing over and over again, the bid team, which was unity of the three different nations all working together to be inclusive and to bring people together. You know, we live in a world, unfortunately, that's very divisive at the moment, and that unity was a really big piece. The certainty of having the infrastructure and the accommodations and the transportation and the history of being able to deliver these kinds of events on a world scale was also a key piece. For me, I think the biggest component of it, looking through the lens of the job that I do now for Canada Soccer, which is about development, is the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I go back to 86. I was 12, just turned 12, and that event, it was a turning point in my life to watch our country play in a World Cup, to watch those players with that jersey, with that logo, representing Canada at that stage. Just a light bulb went off in me, and it just sparked something that I was going to play and do everything that I could do to get to that level myself. And I was lucky that I made it to that national team level, but I failed to qualify for the World Cup, and it eats away at me every single day.
And I always tell people that game, Sunday afternoon game, I remember coming the line, we're playing France in the opener. We almost went up 1-0. I tell my kids that. A French defender headed the ball off the line. It beat the keeper. They kept it 0-0, and then they beat us, and we didn't score.
So what happened to the 11-year-olds, your friends, the kids that you competed against, that didn't get us there again? What happened to Canadian soccer? Because there we were. So the 11-year-olds that you were, they should have continued the legacy, and that didn't happen.
We didn't make it. And I used to say, you know, after my career was finished as a player, I used to say that we just weren't good enough. And then I've been fortunate to work with national team coaches, people like John Herdman, Kenneth Heinemüller, who are now leading our men's and women's programs. And I see the level of detail they go to in preparing. There's no stone left unturned. Everything is taken out of the way. All the excuses are taken away from the players, so all they have to do is perform. I look back and I compare it to our preparation for those three cycles, World Cup cycles that I was involved in. It's like night and day. We weren't prepared enough. We weren't professional enough. We just didn't do what we should have done, and in part because we didn't know any better. But now I think that we've evolved. So, you know, the 11-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, the kids, you know, if between my time and now, they've been starved of the opportunity to be inspired. And because we never qualified for a men's World Cup. And I saw it in 2015 with the Women's World Cup. It wasn't just girls, young girls in the stadium. It was young boys and girls. And we're going to see in about 4 or 5 years' time a group of teenagers that comes through that were inspired by that event.
Well, and guess
going
what?
To that event.
How much more worldly are kids now, period? And how much more worldly are they about soccer?
Yeah.
You and I are about the same age. there was no Premier League on. No. You're a huge part of why the coverage works. Both Sports and TSN have done amazing jobs, amazing panels, amazing play-by-play, and you couldn't see matches. You might get the FA Cup. Yeah, the Euros weren't even on. They weren't even on when we were kids. It wasn't as big an event, and now these kids have superstars, and they wear the shirts, and even the local teams worry that, oh my God, like that kid's favorite athlete is Messi or Ronaldo. It's not a Toronto athlete. They like somebody that plays for Real Madrid or Man City.
You can watch more Premier League football in Canada than you can in England.
Yes.
And we have access to States. Everything, the Champions League, Europa League, the Euros, the World Cup, everything. You can watch football almost 24/7 now. So our kids have access to it, but having that connection with your national team, with your jersey, with your flag. We see Canada wrap itself in the Canadian flag when the Winter Olympics are on and we're playing hockey all the time. I think we're going to have that same connection at the World Cup on the men's side.
With your title suggests there's as much on you as there is on anybody. Director of development, somewhere along the way, there's a snag at a certain age that doesn't happen. At some age, I don't know, 11-year-olds, we match up with the world, and then something happens from 11 to 15, they pull away and we don't advance. So what do we do?
Partly it's that our kids don't have something to aspire to. You know, the lack of a real professional league infrastructure definitely hurts us for sure, because our kids don't see being a professional soccer player as a career. I mean, most kids that play hockey, when they start playing, they dream of playing in the NHL. And that same dream hasn't really existed in our country. Now, I think it's starting to change. When MLS came into Canada with Toronto FC and Vancouver Whitecaps, Montreal Impact, and that's great. And those three organizations are doing what they can. But we're a country of 35 million that's the size of continental Europe. We need more than three professional clubs for our kids to play at. So there has to be that aspiration. And that will help our kids continue to put in the hard work through those teenage years, because it isn't easy. Craig Forrest and I were just talking about this and reflecting back on the journey we went through. I'm not advocating that we go back to some of the training methods that we used back then, but our kids, you know, they have to have that goal and they have to have that target to keep putting in that work to get to that level.
Hard work, it can get you to that level, but you need money as well. How much are you looking forward to corporations and sponsors now jumping on this train now that it's coming here, now that it's a reality?
Well, I think it's, you know, we have to look at this as an opportunity to build infrastructure and to build a system that didn't previously exist. And I don't think that we have to look at this as a one-off opportunity. I mean, I think most organizations in the corporate level, they want to connect with something that matters, that something that's meaningful to people. And if they can do that and they can connect with the moms and dads who are the consumers, I suppose, of soccer in this country, and they can attach value to that, they're giving something back to their kids and they're giving them value. I think that's a real opportunity for everyone, because we get to be, you know, sort of invest our time and our energy into our kids and by giving them infrastructure. And, you know, the corporations get that, you know, that sense of we're doing something good for Canada and good for Canadians. We're giving back to the well-being of kids in this country.
Jason DeVos, our guest. The infrastructure of the stadiums is going to be really intriguing. I know there's people that say how BMO had already had the two big expansions. Why Toronto FC had like 9 straight road games. I'm exaggerating, but the past couple of years before this year, BMO needs to get bigger. What about Olympic Stadium? There has to be concerns about what Olympic Stadium is or isn't 8 years from now too, right?
It's a great question. I mean, it's probably best answered by those who are working on the bid at that level. Unfortunately, I'm not. I mean, my role really is to focus on building a grassroots development system, building a coach education system.
Can't you do everything?
I mean, well, I've got all this free time on my hands.
Double, yeah.
I've got all this free time on my hands. So it's not really something that I can speak about. But I mean, obviously, you know, the second component of the three pillars was certainty and having the infrastructure in place. You know, you look at the stadiums across the United States; they have some of the best stadiums in the world. Down there. So I've no doubt that the venues of the games are going to be world-class and we're going to put on an event that the world can be proud of.
How do you like where our country stands right now on the players that you know of that will be available 8 years from? I know it's a long time to look into the future, but what do you see from what we have now?
And I'd add, it's just like asking an athlete about, you know, don't look past the next game.
Yeah.
We want to qualify for Qatar.
Well,
like straight up, we want to be one of the 32 teams that goes to Qatar. And Alphonso Davies will be 22. Like we can, he could be a real pinnacle player at that age for that group.
Yeah, I mean, I won't speak for John Herdman, but we've had lengthy conversations about this, that this isn't just about 2026. This is about, can we get to 2022? Can we qualify outright? And that's the goal, and that has to be the goal, because we have talented young players in this country. What we've always needed is a plan and a structure and infrastructure to be able to develop those young players who have talent and professional environments for them to go into. So we have to take that whole approach of trying to give our best young players the best chance possible to go on and be first and foremost professional players, and then secondly international caliber players. And if we can do that, and I'm confident that we have the right man in John to be able to do that, then we're going to see some success, and it's going to be a pretty exciting time to be involved in Canadian soccer.
And we're in, I want to clarify this, and I'm asking you this off the top of your head because I don't know the answer, but I was working at it yesterday. We qualify automatically, so does Mexico and the States, and three more teams do. So basically now, if you get to the hex, you're in. I think we'll have six teams out of 48, but I'm not, it's harder than ever.
I'm not an expert on that either. I don't think it's been actually announced formally. So, you know, everyone kind of assumes that when you host the tournament that you qualify as one of the hosts, and I presume that's the case as well, but don't quote me on that. But, you know, our qualifying, and we're not even looking at 2026 right now, our qualifying for 2022 starts in earnest in the fall.
In the fall, right.
So we need to get going on things, and I know that John's working round the clock to be able to put in place a program and a plan to be able to get us there. So, you know, the games are coming thick and fast. They're not that far away. It's only a couple of months down the road, and these games matter. And these are games that I think all of the country needs to get behind.
And just quickly, the U.S. not qualifying tells you how much better everybody's getting. Like they went, other teams went and beat them. I think it's, and I've never, I know our tendency is to root against the U.S., but when you got Bradley and Altidore playing here, for kids growing up in Toronto, like, it's too bad they're not there. It really is. And it's always been, we've kind of rode their wave a little bit in MLS popularity that the United States has played such dramatic World Cup games against Ghana and England, and it's too bad they're not on the world stage for kids in Toronto.
Yeah, for sure. And I look at the United States and I look at the impact that the World Cup in 94 had on that country. It spawned MLS. It spawned them qualifying.
College system so much better.
Well, for every World Cup for 30 years, the best part of 30 years they've qualified for. So this is the first one they've missed out on. I'm sure there's going to be a reaction from U.S. soccer. So not only do we have to up our game to begin with, we also then have to contend with what's going to come from the United States. Mm.
Director of Development for Canada Soccer, Jason DeVos, we thank you so much for joining us. And everyone that now has learned that they have plenty of work to do, we wish you a wonderful sleep sometime in 2027.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
There you go. Jason DeVos, thank you so much.